The Kamadan Queen, coming up next right here on this special edition of The Right Stuff. Welcome to this special edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen, Parker J. Thank you so very much for joining me. I know today is Thursday, and I usually do special editions on Wednesday. And I want to thank my guest co-host, Shane Warrose, for his accommodating me because my schedule got really hectic yesterday. But that's the best part about this show. We always try to make sure that we showcase new Christian authors every week from all sorts of backgrounds and genres. And Shane Warrose is no different. You may remember him from the show we did on Golgotha, the Isle of Golgotha, and we enjoyed that story. So now he's back again for the second book in that series. And we want to thank Christian Faith Publishing for the connection. To find out more about them, simply Google Christian Faith Publishing on the web. Before I get into our interview, I want to thank our corporate sponsor, Christian Book Club, for their support. If you are looking to find out how they can help you build your readership, go to christianbookclub.net. Radio app is live. That's right. I've been mentioning it now for several months, and now it is live. You can download the Radio app on the Google Play Store today, and as an author, go to radioapp.com to find out how you can upload your Christian fiction and nonfiction book onto the app today. One of the reasons why this app is so unique is that it is an app solely dedicated to the Most High God, showcasing Christian fiction authors and Christian nonfiction authors. So if you want to find out more information about it, go to radioapp.com. Lastly, we want to thank our Patreon team for their support of The Right Stuff. For the past 8 years, we have been showcasing Christian authors worldwide, and we couldn't do it without your help. So I want to thank our Patreon team for their support. To find out how you can help us, simply go to patreon.com/rightstuff and see what you can do today. As always, we covet your prayers. If you want to weigh in on our topic, all you have to do is call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag Right Stuff, with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
I feel so hopeless.
Is there any hope? I just feel like there's no hope at all.
Is there any hope?
Get hope.
Winston Churchill and my dad are my personal heroes.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
Now, they knew how to boost the morale and confidence of people under fire. Churchill exuded hope, and it was infectious among those he touched. Hope is a pervasive theme in the Bible. In fact, the word is used 175 times. Now, why is hope so important? The Bible says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Hope gives endurance in the face of adversity. My father never lost hope. He always saw the sun over another hill of adversity. Lost hope in your family, business, relationships? Ask Jesus to speak to you. Then begin to feel the power of hope in your life.
Need more hope? We have resources waiting for you, including a free devotional. You'll find them at GetHopeRadio.com. That's GetHopeRadio.com.
Hi, and welcome back to the special edition of The Right Stuff. Again, the Queen is here, and we are talking to my guest, co-host, and contributor, Shane Warrose. He is the author of the book, The Kamadan Queen, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Like I said before the break, you may remember him from our interview where we talked about his first book, The Isles of Golgotha, and this is the second book in that series. I can't wait to delve into it, so let's go ahead and bring on Shane. Shane, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very great.
I am so glad that you came back onto the show to help me out again so we can delve into the second book in this series. So how has life been treating you since the last time we talked?
It's been doing me great.
So are you working on any new projects right now, or are you just focusing on finishing up this series here? Tell us about that.
Well, the trilogy's already finished. Right now I'm working on some new projects. I'm not going to disclose them just yet. I'll wait till next interview.
No problem there. I love the fact that you just keep pushing forward and moving forward, Shane. That's the best part about being an author, is that you have more ideas where that came from. And so in the Isles of Golgotha, we're introduced to our main character, Zanias. And now we're following his life after the events in Isles of Golgotha into the Commandant Queen. So the first question I need to ask you, Shane, just for any casual listener out there who may be the first time they're hearing about this, do they have to read Isles of Golgotha first to appreciate the Commandant Queen, or can they be read separate? What's the best advice you would give?
My opinion would be to read the first one first so they know what it is they're reading about. So if they skip a book, they'll miss out on key details on the first and into the second.
Okay, so it is important to go from book one to book two. Okay, I just wanted to know, sometimes some authors may write a series where you can read each book as a standalone, and then some authors, like myself and yourself, we write where the events are interconnected. So that's good. So what's happened to Zanias? Without giving away too many spoilers, what's happened with Zanias as he goes from book one to book two? What are some of the biggest changes that he's experienced so far?
In this one, they begin their relationship, and someone down the path, his lover is abducted, and he goes to try to get her back.
And there's usually a problem when that happens, when you're still a man's woman. That's usually a problem.
Yep.
You're like, okay, I have to go get my boo back. And I remember when you talked about the Isles of Golgotha, and you were working on developing that story, it came to you one day while you were watching TV. Was it the same way that happened with the Commandant Queen? Was it the same way? Was you watching something? Did something else happen? Tell us about how the genesis for this book started.
Well, I think for this one, they just began, give him a challenge to really express a deep desire for her.
And that's what the Commandant Queen is about. So for those of you listening, make sure you pick up the Commandant Queen on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And again, you can get a copy of the Commandant Queen from Christian at their website there. Let's go ahead and peel back the veil here. So when you look at the cover, and this cover is killer. I love the cover of this book. When you look at the cover, you have this woman, and she looks like she's a hybrid of a lizard or possibly a dragon and the human. And so when someone sees that cover, they're definitely going to say, okay, this is a dragon story. But I would contend that it's more than a dragon story. It's a story about a man who's in love. Well, somewhat of a man who's in love and some of the things that's going on in his life. So go ahead and tell us what it's like to be the Commandant Queen. I mean, if we were going to, without, again, not giving too many spoilers away, if we were to be in her thought processes, things of that nature, what are some of the things that she's thinking about?
She's thinking about what can she do to service her people. Like on the cover, it shows the picture of her with the dove representing peace and harmony. She strives to be a better queen than the previous monarch.
And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said struggling to be a better queen, because when you are in a position of leadership, I would think you have a lot of stress on you, because now you have to service people who have either elected you, and not in this case, but they elected you, or you're born into that position. Do you think more leaders need to focus on trying to be a better leader, or just trying to be better at the, or just trying to make as if they're trying to be better leaders, you know, particularly in our world today with all the turmoil?
Well, they need to be a bit of both because they got a whole bunch of people relying on them, and they expect her to make the difficult choices for them, which, and of course, will be very extremely stressful for him or her, or the people in charge.
And I think you mentioned that in a good way too, Shane, when we talk about it. So Zanias has this relationship with Kairi. I know I'm always mutilating her name. It's Kairi. Am I saying it right?
Kairi.
Go ahead and make sure I say it right. Kairi, thank you. With Kairi.
Kairi. Yeah.
And with this relationship, he's learning a lot about her, about him. And for a while, they're just living, in, like you said, in your description, in blissful solace. And there's nothing like when you're in love and you and her are the only ones who matter. You know, the whole world outside is, you know, out there, but here it's just me and you, right? And so when Kairi gets abducted, it really shakes his world because he has to come to care for her. So when he's on this mission, he meets some interesting people. I know some people from the first book make an appearance in this book as well. And so what is it about him going to rescue her that you want readers to understand about his quest? Because his quest in the first book is completely different than this book. So tell us about what do you want readers to pick up on.
I want the readers to pick up on that she is really essential to him in making a change for him. She calms him down, so to speak, and helps him to realize that his crime was all his fault. And so her and her family are a big role in that situation.
Oh, for sure, definitely. I know in the Isles of Golgotha, you know, that was a learning experience for you with the first book in the series. And now you went to the second book. And I don't know if I asked this the last – I can't remember, rather, if I asked this the last time or not. If I did, I apologize. But, you know, what did you learn from the first book as far as the writing process that helped you in doing the second book in the series?
I think you're breaking up. Can you repeat it?
Oh, sure. What did you learn in the first book that helped you write the second book in this series?
That acceptance takes time. It's not going to be, oh, I did this, yada, yada, forget about it, let's move on. It, stuff like what he did takes time to sink in.
Do you feel as if with this particular character, do you feel as he grows into who he is, do you feel as if a lot more people would relate to his journey right now from the second story, which is where he's a reprehensible character who gets out better in the end, but it's a really long journey because he gets on your nerves a lot in the first book in Isles of Golgotha. Now in The Commandant Queen, you know, that journey, his journey as a character is growing. Do you sense that with that growth, we begin to know more and more about him and the people that he interacts with?
Yeah, he's more calmer in this book than he was in the last, that's for sure.
Yeah, he was very angry in the first one, and just especially since he did all those terrible things. Again, if you want to know what happened to Zanias, make sure you pick up the first book in the series called The Isles of Golgotha. Make sure you pick up that one because you understand what me and Shane are talking about, because Zanias was a trip. He was a very interesting character, and there's a lot of symbolism in Isles of Golgotha as well and in The Commandant Queen. And so The Commandant Queen, one of the things I asked you before the show was how did you say her name? But you also mentioned the dragon. And with the Komodo dragon, you have this unique aspect of Komodo dragons that – do you mirror that aspect of the dragon with the queen, or is it something that you just came up with on the whim? You know what I mean? Because sometimes we're inspired by different things. So when you were creating her character, what was that moment where you said, okay, I want her to mirror the dragon, and, of course, this particular dragon?
Well, I drew the Komodo dragon from a real life Komodo dragon. How in the they have a, in their saliva a very toxic or bacteria filled saliva,
mm-hmm.
and I applied that to one of the curses from the previous book for a couple of instances, like Komodon, since they have the toxic saliva, their since lies are toxic, that made them their vice liars. And for chameleons or chameleos, that how they are referenced, they can turn invisible or shade into the background, I made them thieves.
And I like that aspect of it, too. So, like I said, the Komodon Queen, for those of you listening, it's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. When we come back, we're going to delve some more into the Komodon Queen with Shane Warrows. And you're happy and welcome to call in at 646-668-8485. Then press 1 to be live on air. Or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right. Stop with your question or comment. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Are you an indie author looking to create audiobooks listeners will love? At The Audio Flow, we handle the entire process, from casting the perfect voice to distribution. Contact us today at 317-927-8770. The Audio Flow, a new way to do audio.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people? And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist, and we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lorehaven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. We apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel, and we'll join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring his gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5, a special edition here with my returning guest co-host and contributor today, Shane Warrows. He is the author of The Komodon Queen, which is the second book in the series. The first book in the series is called The Isles of Golgotha. Both of them are available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And what's really nice is that the entire trilogy is out. So if you want to pick up the first book and the second book, go might as well go ahead and pick up the third. Again, they're all available on Amazon.com. We want to thank Christian Faith Publishing for the connection. And Shane, once again, thanks for being with me on the show as we continue to talk about your book, The Komodon Queen. And so one of the things I always ask, I always like to get very practical about our writing process. And the reason why is because if you answer certain questions to our listeners out there who also want to do the same thing that you're doing, they may get inspired by your process or your ways of how you do things. And maybe that will make them pick up the pen and write. So my next questions have to do with the practicality of your writing process. So go ahead and tell us, how long did it take to write The Komodon Queen?
I'd say maybe 5-6 months, give or take.
When you say it took 5 or 6 months, and like I said, give or take, did you set aside a time? Did you set a word goal each day? How did you make that happen?
I try to set a goal, but I try to limit it when I write because when I go back, try to review it. So if I make any mistakes before I submit it to my publisher, it'll be in tip-top shape.
Now, when you were creating, because you're going from book one to book two, and so you have to create new characters. When some of those characters started to speak to you, how did you work on incorporating them into the story?
Oh, for one, the main king or the current king of Golgotha, I try to make him as lowly and despicable as possible without making him too much of a
really reprehensible. Like, you know, what,
yeah.
Don't want to make him too jerky. Don't make him too
yeah.
much of a jerk, I guess. Right? And
yeah.
what else?
And how easily misguided he can be and how trusting it is of a certain character who serves as one of the main antagonists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you, you were incorporating your new characters. They probably just spoke to you like your first characters did, you know. And then another thing about Golgotha is that it's a massive world, you know, that you've built here with a lot of symbolism from the Bible taken there too. And so when you're expanding that to incorporate other things, what is some advice you would give to authors who are also working on their own speculative fiction books as well? What advice would you give them about building their world?
Be creative and original.
That originality will go so many places. Not that there's nothing wrong with something that you're familiar with. Like I said, in Isles of Golgotha, there's a lot of symbolism there that we're quite familiar with. But in this case, you're just expanding that and then flipping it on its head and everything like that. And so with the second book, I'm sure there's characters that speak to you more loudly than other characters. So with along with Zanias, what were some of the other characters that you grew to love to hate, as I say, or hate to love? And tell us why. Shane, did you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you.
Oh, okay.
I guess I, as Leah, I think is my, as I keep writing about her, she starts off at this one strong figure for Kyrie, and I guess if she were in real life, and I knew her, she would drive me nuts with all her spunk.
Mm-hmm. But that's probably why she just jumps off the page, is because she has all that spunk. And that's the nice part of being an author. You can create these really dynamic characters that readers can really relate to. And in The Commandant Queen, one of the things that's happened is that, you know, like you said, Kyrie gets abducted. And I could just, you know, I remember one time I thought I lost my nephew. He was a little baby. And I thought I lost him. Well, not a baby, obviously, but like a toddler. And you turn your head for one moment, like one moment completely. You just blink, and then all of a sudden they're gone. And just that fear that encapsulates you is damaging almost, because in that 1 second before I saw him again, it seemed to last a lifetime because you're looking for this loved one. You can't find it. And I know Zanias must have been going through the exact same thing when Kyrie was abducted. Now, do you have any personal experience with that? Like, did you lose something, or have you ever been in that predicament? Maybe you were the one who got lost and you couldn't find who one of your loved ones. Tell us if there's a personal connection with that.
I did have one instance with my father. I was like maybe four or five. I had like a really short attention span. We were at the mall one time. We were going home up the escalators. I decided I wanted to ride the escalators up and down, and we got separated.
Oh my God!
My father was ecstatic.
Oh my God! You said it was funny though. You had fun. You were four or five. I mean, going up and down the escalators is probably very exciting for a 4 or 5 year old. I remember it's funny you mentioned about the escalator. We were talking about the airport, and I went to Colorado, and Colorado's, I forgot which was the call. I think it's the Denver one. It's massive. Like, I feel like my whole county could fit in that airport. And they have these moving walks where you just, they're like escalators, but they're flat, and you just move on them. And I felt like that was the best invention ever because you're walking this massive, massive airport, and you're carrying all your stuff, and your gate to your flight is 1,000 miles that direction, and then you just like, I don't want to walk anymore. So you could just stand still and let the sidewalk walk for you.
Exactly.
I thought about that. That's fun for an adult. Let the sidewalk walk for you. So maybe there's something to it, Shane. Maybe there's something to it. So in the Commandant Queen, we have the series continuing, and I know the third book is out. Again, if you can, without giving too many spoilers, because you know I am very spoiler sensitive, tell us about what the third book is called, and then why, what's happening that's going to really just have the reader on the edge of their seat.
Well, the third one, it's also the conclusion. It's called The Time of Trial, in which Zinaeus, he confesses what he's done to Lord Eden, and he stands trial. And the question is, will Lord Eden banish him to the Vesuvius realm, a realm of agony and pain for eternity, or show him mercy and spare him from that fate?
Wow, that is going to be just incredible to showcase on the show next time when we go finish up the nice story, and really looking forward to that. So we'll talk offline about that. And so with this series, you know, it's complete. I know you have other projects that you're working on, but there was one story I saw when I was preparing for the show today. There was just one book I saw, and I know I don't want you to give us the full spoiler of it. But there's one book you have that takes place in, like, the near future. Could you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yes, is it okay to say the name?
Sure is.
All right, that book is called Heaven No More. It's set in the future time, and it's, how you say, told by this girl as she grows up in that country, and what she does in there.
It's a very intriguing synopsis, and I was reading about it, so hopefully we can showcase that on the show sometime too. But yeah, I'm just really excited that you were able to join me today, Shane, for the show, and that we're able to just, I'm very particular about not giving away too many spoilers, you know. So I'm really glad you were able to come with me to talk about the Commandant Queen. And when we come, next time you come back and we'll talk about, like I said, offline, we're going to go into the third book of the series, or we can go into the other book. We'll figure that out offline. So in the few moments that we have left, Shane, I definitely want you to encourage our author friends out there whom God has given the gift to write to pick up the pen and do so.
Like in the past one I said,
Well, I know you said that you missed at a goal. You set a goal every day. Yeah. So you can just use that as your closing thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have a set goal every time. Do a little this or that. Go back. Oh, crap.
So don't worry about it, Shane. Don't worry about it. We keep it real on Right Stuff. The phone rings, the dog barks, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Keep going.
Okay. So do a little bit of that every day. Go back, review, so that when you're ready to go submit, it's ready.
That is some awesome advice, Shane. I know you got to get going because that phone is ringing, so I won't keep you. But thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being with me on the show today. And I can't wait to have you back. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And we were talking today to Shane Warrose. He is the author of The Commandant Queen, which is book two of the Isles of Golgotha series, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. What I really love about these books is that they have so much adventure and so much mystery. They have really dynamic characters that leap off the page, as well as interesting storylines. You're never quite sure what's going to happen the next time because you think you know it, and then Shane just writes that off and you don't know what's actually going to happen. So it really does keep you on your toes. So make sure you pick up book one of the series called The Isles of Golgotha, and then book two, The Commandant Queen. And then the next book, of course, we'll have him back on to talk about that. For those of you listening, thank you so much for listening to this special edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day. ¶¶